Today we're here with Austin. I appreciate you, Austin, for joining in. Maybe I'll let you have the honors of introducing yourself.
Yeah, so Austin Tifoli, born and raised Fort Worth, Texas. So I've been around here my whole life. Awesome. Started Thrust probably about, I believe it was May of 2023. So we're coming up on 2 years now.
Okay.
So finished, went to flight school here at Thrust. Mm-hmm. So finished in, I believe, February of 24. Mm-hmm. So been teaching since then. So coming up on a year of instructing.
So that's like nearly 9-ish months for you to get through the main portion of your rating before you got to CFI.
Yeah. Yeah, through everything until I got the only thing I had left was multi, and you know that was finished up pretty quick. So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. That's I like to always ask that because everyone's time varies a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like our expectation, right, for getting through the program.
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder if you were going to get through in that amount of time? Were you ever worried about something like that?
You know, no. I mean, so I had a couple other friends that had gone through it, and everybody was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they told us that, and through the first two ratings, you know, you kind of see where you kind of stand and how fast you can get through stuff and the reality of it. But there was one rating that kind of was hard. Like, for me, the hardest rating was instruments because I had a lot of ground. A lot of ground knowledge, so that one was like but no it got through in a really good, really quick amount of time. So
what about the ground kind of gets in the way, for you? What about the ground sort of got in the way of you in your instrument rating?
Ground in general, man. Even if you're at a 141 school like this, you know, we do grounds. You have a ground class versus like 461, so it's just I'm terrible at it. I'll tell you right now. Everybody knows it. Like, you can ask Eliza, whoever. Everybody knows, Brian, that I am not their best. But because of that, I had to work a little bit harder, and that was instrument kind of whooped me to actually focus on the ground. And so it's gotten a lot better and gotten the comprehension level up to where it's supposed to be. So which took some time.
That's where you probably really got your bearings. Like you said, you really had to step it up, I guess, put a little extra work in and get your feet on the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was cool. That, you know, study with friends, study videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, reading a book, gosh, can't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, watching videos, there's tons of videos everywhere. Even Thrust has them, you know, YouTube, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Videos about any topic that you want, as long as you make sure it's correct, right?
Trust, but you got to fact check it.
You don't want to learn something that's wrong. So.
Yeah. I'm always worried about that with our videos. I'm like, okay, I got to make sure this is as correct as possible. So
yep.
Nervous. If you ever see anything, let me know.
Hey, if it's out there, it's out there forever.
Okay,
right?
Well, I don't know forever. I have a delete button, but... before you got to Thrust in May of 2023, what were you doing before that? What brought you here? Or maybe not what brought you here, but before you decided to come here, what were you doing?
So I had a full career before this. Ever since I was 21, I went to the corporate world, quote unquote, with my family, and, we were doing a risk management and consulting. So I did that and kind of got bored of it. And started working in the aviation industry. So I started taking what we did there and going to work with FBOs. So like Millionaire, the beautiful one we're sitting in right now, Galaxy.
Yeah.
135 operators, like, you know, Wheels Up or people like JSX, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And their job was cooler than mine.
Yeah.
And it's actually the defining moment was I talked to the chief pilot down in Millionaire, and his job was way cooler than mine. And
yeah.
I was like, I want your job.
Yeah.
And so just decided to kind of jump ship and talk through with some things with the family, and was able to do it. So
yeah. That's really cool. Was that a conversation you had to have with anyone? Was anyone like, oh, I don't know if you should do that?
Nope, not at all. Oh. Everybody was like, so my grandparent, my grandfather and my uncle were all naval and marine aviators. And so they wanted me to go in the Air Force, but didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know, respect those guys, but that was 10 years and I didn't want to do 10 years, so
yeah,
decided to go this route.
Yeah, that's a different kind of commitment. That's scary to do, especially when you're younger. But okay, so you had a whole career going on before, and you figured you just saw the appeal and you went for it, right? So what was did you do some research? Did you have to look some things up? Did you ask around?
I asked around. I had a few friends, like I said, everywhere, right?
Yeah.
All the way from ATP to small mom and pop places, and I had heard about Thrust, and I came in toward it, and it was literally the only one that I toured. I'll say it. I didn't go tour everyone. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
After I came here and talked to Nathan and the folks here and got to speak to the person that actually became one of my private instructors. It just appealed to me the best. You know, it's not even saying we have some of the nicest. We have the nicest airplanes, right? And our instructors are great, and everybody here was really nice when I toured it. So
just felt right. And you're like, I'm just going to go and stick with this. And then Addison's a pretty cool area to be around too.
Yeah. So it's funny. This is probably the closest I'm ever going to be to Dallas. I don't want to live any closer.
Are you still out in Fort Worth, or are you closer now?
No, I'm over in, north of Grapevine. Okay, I live over there.
Yeah. Well, welcome to being around Dallas a little bit more. Yeah, I wonder if you'll retreat back to your quarters afterwards.
Yep.
do you have plans to move after you kind of maybe move on to maybe the airlines, if that's your goal, or any whatever's next for you?
Yeah. So my goal is more of corporate.
Yeah.
Or for family, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go to, as much as everybody hates hearing that, I don't want to go to the airlines. And that's really, being a pilot and flying is a lot about, hey, you have to have some compromise, and if the job moves, you kind of move. But luckily, DFW is a central spot, you know, geographically, and it's a big spot for aviation, private and commercial. Mm-hmm. So there's so many options and opportunities here that I probably won't be having to move. But as long as it's not like out in the middle of nowhere, and Nebraska or something like that, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, you'd be fine regardless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, nonetheless, it seems like there, like you said, there's a lot of opportunity here in DFW, regardless of whatever you want to do. But I will ask more about the goal of the direction you want to go here in a little bit. But I want to know, you're a CFI now, right? You've been here. You've been a CFI for about a year. Mm-hmm. That transition to becoming a CFI. First of all, were you aware you were going to probably be training others as a part of your own development as a pilot?
Yeah, so that was always the goal, right? You have some folks that don't, they just want to go to commercial and multi-commercial and just kind of skip CFI or II. I always kind of knew that it'd be really good to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Because if you go to fly pipelines and something fails, you always have CFI to fall back on to time build. And look at some of the other folks here that are, after the airlines, they hit 65, they came back, they still have their instructors, so certificate, so they're allowed to come back and train and teach and do what they love. So it's just all around good to have and always good to keep up with. So
as a CFI now, what was that transition like though, coming from being a student?
Oof, man, you're gonna learn the most ever in those first couple months of being a CFI and actually having students. We trained CFIs very well for as best we can to, not have any gotchas or aha moments when we're out there, but you're always going to, it's like on the job training. That's what it is. We prepare, give the tools necessary, for success. And then, you're always going to learn stuff while we go out there and do it. And, the first couple times, whether it's just flying VFR or like the first time you're filing by yourself and you're flying out in IMC with a student and you're teaching, and IMC in the clouds, right? We're flying in the clouds, can't see anything. It's fun. I like it. It's a little bit of adrenaline, right? It's just a blast. And I haven't met a pilot that doesn't like IMC yet or flying in the clouds, but it is a little nerve-wracking to be able to go do that stuff, right? We're in, we're responsible for a human at that point, right? Responsible for example, when they hear tower ask them something, right? And they didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. They're looking right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, man, I hope you heard it, because, you have to call back and say, hey, what was that? But that's just one example, right? So it's just a lot of responsibility. And not only that, but, you have these very expensive airplanes that you want to make sure are okay. Primarily we obviously focus on safety and the student safety, but we also don't want to damage these nice airplanes.
So when you first started flying with students as you were a CFI, it sounds like, did that kind of hit you all at once? You're like, wait a second, this is a completely different role. It's a lot more responsibility. It's all on me now in the air, the plane, the student.
It kind of works itself over time.
Okay.
You're always going to look back and think, man, I should have done this differently, or I could have done this differently, but you're learning, right? Mm-hmm. And that every single person, even Jared and Liz and, some of the more senior folks that have been here for a long time, you always learn little new tricks and tips and stuff like that. It's part of getting better, right? You can always be better. But you definitely look back and, you know, your level of training, maybe how you do something, right? You've had more, I've had more students at this point, right? You know, upwards of like, I think sign-offs are like 15, maybe 16 people now.
Right.
So, you know, that's a lot more than just starting with one person.
Yeah.
So having, you know, that's 15 different ways people have learned to land, or 15 different ways, different things or situations that they've done or put me in that I can now teach and teach through.
Exposure is different.
Yeah. The exposure. You have exposure to 16 different people landing all different ways at first. Right?
Yeah.
And we, you know, we put them together and, you know, make sure they understand that there's a unified way to do it, and teach them the steps and the proper steps to go forward.
Now that you're a CFI, are you training other CFIs, people for their CFI rating at all?
Right now, we focus on a lot of commercials, getting them ready. And there's, you know, I think there's some things in commercial we can do to help them prepare for CFI, right? Mm-hmm. If we, for example, having them verbalize and talk through maneuvers, talk through landings, right?
Yeah.
Just flew with somebody today that was like, hey, just so you remember it, talk through it, right?
Yeah.
And talk through the RPM settings, talk through, you know, all right, we're for landing, right? We're a beam or point, power 1500. Let's pitch for the airspeed 85. Mm-hmm. And when they talk through it, they can, does a couple things. A, they're not going to forget, right?
Right.
Talk through it, you're going to do it. But two, it gets them prepared for CFI, because they're going to have to then teach that. So there's stuff you can do to prepare them through all ratings and make sure that you do it, because at the end of the day, that is a very hard check ride. It's very long.
So. Yeah, that's what I've heard. And it's a lot different than maybe the first three ratings that you're going to be going through, right? Because the exchange in the plane with the DPE or your EOC is going to look a lot different than what you're used to, I'm sure.
So I remember they were like, hey, we want you to do a plan of action.
Yeah. Right?
There's task areas that you have to hit in the ACS for CFI. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you're going to create a plan of action that hits all of these. And I'm like, what?
Yep.
So you put everything together, right? From all the way from what you're teaching to, you know, obviously you have to teach mandatory things. Some of them are mandatory. Some of them you can do one or the other. And it's your job to go through and kind of make that plan of action. And that's your first experience of, hey, you're being a CFI, because that DP or EOC person is going to be like, all right, teach me how to do this.
Yeah.
And they may do something, you know, oh, we're going to go this way just to see if you catch it. Right. So yeah, that's, it's fun.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm wondering, what's probably, now that you've been doing this for a little while, what's probably your favorite part? I know this is like, that's such a brand, like broad question, but I really like to know, like, what is it about aviation? Like, do you feel like it's got you going? Does it have you, are you pretty settled in what you're doing now? Are you questioning it at all? Are you excited about it? And if so, what's so exciting about aviation for you?
Man, you get to fly planes.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. And I talked to a lot of people here about it, where you'll go home or you go out and, you know, we talk in dispatch and everything like that. People, we're surrounded by pilots and people who fly planes. So it's like, meh, it's kind of like, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
but you should brush it off, because it's something we do every day. It's like driving a car to work, right? But it's so much more than that. And and so I think it can get, when you go out and meet other people, or you go home to your family, you know, they get all excited about it. Whether it's, you know, you had a picture from across country with a beautiful sunset or sunrise, or you're over the cloud layer, whatever. You really see, like, and you get that jolt of, wow, what I'm doing is actually really incredible.
Yeah.
And there are times where you're just like, you know, whether it's long days, or just, you know, whether it's bumpy weather or it's hot, whatever it may be, even though, you know, our airplanes have AC, so they're like, get hot too much, but
yeah.
You know, there's different things where you can get down in a lull, and it just takes something like that to get you back up, where you can realize and be grateful for a lot of the things that we're doing and we get to do here, flying out of one of the most busy airspaces in the United States, and get to teach people their dreams, pretty much, you know. And I'd say that the aha moments for students is actually really cool, because you're like, wow, I actually, you know, that clicked. Yeah, the click moments, or the light bulb moments, whatever you want to call it.
I wonder what's so, and I've always, and everyone says that, and I've, you know, had that moment with people, and I've had my own light bulb moments, right?
We all have.
Yeah, right. Right. I would hope so. But seeing it go off in other people is nearly just as satisfying for some reason. And I wonder what that is, but I guess it's just being able to see someone be here and then go there. Someone break down a barrier, and maybe move a little closer to something that they really desire, like being a good pilot or a career or something like that is really cool. there must be something about flying, man.
I mean, if you think about it, I forget the percentage, but it's I had it the other day of how many people are actually pilots, and it breaks it down to how many people have private, how many people have, I think the FAA actually does it, instrument, commercial, multi, CFI. And as you continue to go up in those layers and levels, the number gets really low. Mm. And so, yeah, there's a lot of us because we're, you know, we're pilots and we let other pilots know that we're pilots. So exactly. We, you know, it seems like there's a lot of us, but there's really not. Mm. And there's a good chunk, but it's still a profession that is, it's really unique. And it's, I don't want to say it's gatekeep just because of the, getting into it takes a long time.
Yeah, the barrier of entry is maybe not what people thought it was. There's still like there's a barrier maybe, like right, there's a barrier to anything you have to learn, you have to earn your way in. But I think it just looks a lot different than what people imagine. And it is there is a lot to learn. But it's not, I mean, we were talking before the podcast, you went to a 4-year university, right? You came to fly as a student.
No, I didn't get restricted ATP, no, I did not get that.
And so I guess what my point is, there's a barrier to entry to everything. And maybe you have your own viewpoint. I think I have a feeling of what it is already. But that barrier to entry to what you're doing before this, or maybe what you other jobs you could have gotten with your degree, versus this barrier of entry, going to school and becoming a pilot the way that you may want. How would you, what stands out to as a difference for you?
Man.
If you don't mind me asking.
Let me tell you. So my stepmom tells me every day, she's the one who wanted me to go to be a pilot before I went to college.
Okay. So that was a conversation before.
Yep. And it haunts me to this day.
And who was that, did you say?
My mom. I guess my stepmom, but yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
We had this conversation, I remember it clear as day, of her being like, hey, you know, dad's probably over there in the corner sleeping or something like that in the chair after work. And he's like, hey, you know, you've always wanted to fly airplanes. You love airplanes. You might as well go fly airplanes.
Right.
And at the time, you know, you're young. You're thinking about money, right? You're thinking about, I just want to get money. I want to get through fast. I want to do this, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, decided against it. Remember the conversation forever. It's like, oh, you can get a 4-year degree, right? There's places that have that. There's places that you can go get a college degree and also go, you know, get all the way up to your instructor's ratings or whatever rating you want to go up to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whatever, I want to go to college. I want to go to an actual college. I don't want to go to a fake college. Well, didn't realize Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah.
For example, real college, they have a program there as well. So ended up, you know, looking back on it, I wouldn't change it. I'm happy with what I did. Could I have already been in a jet job or in airlines? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Could have been in it for a while. But those experiences and things you have, or I had, going to college, you know, getting a degree and, you know, kind of a interesting subject that I still use, right? You still use the growing up of college helps a lot.
That's what I was gonna say. There's still a lot to learn from the experience of college regardless of what you study, I imagine. But
yeah, and so looking back, no, I wouldn't change it for anything, just because of the experiences are more valuable to me than getting in there 4 years sooner, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal.
And you could also argue that entering into training your pilot journey afterwards or at the age you did could benefit you. I still wanted to ask you if there's like maybe a single piece of advice or a few that you would give to students on their flight journey, maybe starting their private or working their way through commercial or instrument. Whatever, those first three especially, though, is there any piece of advice you would give to a new pilot on their journey?
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Man, you know, you'll look back and be close to your hours, like 1,500. And, you know, at that point, it goes from being fun, flying around and being able to learn and do things to the seriousness of, you know, you're not talking the sterile cockpit below 10,000 feet, right? So, just enjoy it, right? Study. If there's something that you don't know, if you're looking at a study guide or you're looking at something, take time to deep dive into it to where you will know it and you will understand it, because you'll start retaining it. Something that I wish I did when I started. But overall, it's a fun thing to do, and it's something that you can share with, you can meet friends, you can meet anybody in the industry, and it can take you worldwide. It's its own language, essentially, where you're, you know, all across the world, there's pilots and different airlines and things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And so it's special. Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Have fun. Right. Mm-hmm. Be safe. Right. Absolutely. Be smart. Don't do crazy stuff. But yeah, it's just enjoy it.
Okay. Gotcha. And I will, I'm going to kind of end off here. Mm-hmm. It's feels a little bit back to what something we mentioned earlier. Just because I want to make sure I include this in here. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what it really means when you say you're thinking about going corporate, right? Instead of doing the alternative of going to the airlines, which is what a lot of people say, mm-hmm. I really like to hear about a goal that is a little bit different than what I'm used to hearing people answer. So can you explain to me a little bit, and for anyone who's listening, what that option may look like for you?
Yes. Can you just imagine? So I think it's because I got exposure to the, you know, corporate private jet world. Mm-hmm. First jet I was in the actual cockpit of, or flight deck, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. Was a G550. Mm-hmm. And it didn't fly it, right? But just got to sit there. It was on a display. Gulfstream was bringing their stuff down to Love. And I was like, man, these things look super nice. And I'm going to get a lot of hate for this because I know majority of people that are in flight school want to go to the airlines. Uh-huh. But if you look at the cockpit of like a 7-3, and then you look at the cockpit of like a Falcon 7X, you can kind of tell which one's a little nicer, right? Mm-hmm. All jokes aside, you're flying a jet. But that's my, I like, from the stories I've heard, you know, there can be bad eggs everywhere. There can be bad jobs that you may not like. Mm-hmm. But I like the planes. I like the places it can take you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's people that only want gigs that travel within the continental United States, mm-hmm. or traveling, you know, across the world. There is something that you
can find a unique setup, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the funniest thing that why I was like, absolutely, I want to do this, right? So a friend of mine flies a G650, a Gulfstream G650. And I had a picture of the Gulfstream overtaking an airline that was at, I think they were at 41,000 feet. The airline was at 38,000 feet. And it was the biggest, baddest, right? 777. And it was overtaking it.
Yeah.
Coming in, I think it was like on an approach into Atlanta somewhere. And I was like, that's awesome. Like a private jet, you know, it just brings joy out of it. Yeah. Right? You can kind of poke fun at the airlines people. And they poke back, right? Because they have bigger planes and mm-hmm. And everything. So either way, I think both are tremendous options. Mm-hmm. I just kind of drifted towards more people that I knew that was in the private corporate world, and decided that that's kind of what I wanted to do.
Yep.
Not right or wrong. It's just, absolutely, I like those airplanes, like the one out there. Yeah.
Those are super nice. Yeah. And I'm sure when you're walking in, you're a little more familiar with what these are and how they look. There's some nice jets outside of our in the hangar that we're have an office in, for anyone who's listening.
Absolutely.
I get to see those when I come into work.
Yeah. So yeah. Seeing those, and every airplane, I still geek over airplanes at the airport, right? You're still flying the, you know, an A320. Exactly. 737, 787, right? They're still beautiful airplanes. You still, aviation nerds, you're still going to geek over them. Right. But I don't know, there's something about like a tri-jet Falcon or like a Gulfstream with its big windows, and it's just, they have a presence on the ramp, a big roll ramp presence that airlines just don't have for me. So
yeah, I understand. But nonetheless, I appreciate you sharing sharing pretty much, you know, your journey so far and where you hope to go. Because I feel like there's a lot for people who are listening, again, for them to gain, because I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of light still to be shed on the industry of aviation.
It's so big.
Yeah, that's why I like having a more candid conversation about it. Of course, there's a lot of informative stuff. I feel like a lot of people have a lot to gain from hearing things that you have going on for you and your journey so far. Maybe we'll have you again soon, maybe before you leave us. Hopefully, absolutely, not sometime too soon.
Yep.
We'll see you soon. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.